Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Milwaukee and Wisconsin have always had large political significance throughout our country's history. That significance is in part why the Democratic National Convention selected Milwaukee as its 2020 site. Even though we don't know exactly what the DNC will look like due to the coronavirus, Milwaukee remains the largest city in a key battleground state. And Milwaukee, outside of beer, should also be known for its socialist past. For nearly half of the 20th century, the city was run by socialists. One of the most notable being Daniel Hone, who served for a consecutive 24 years. That's the longest socialist administration in U.S. history. The new PBS documentary, America's Socialist Experiment, looks at what made Milwaukee an ideal place for the Socialist Party to have such an impact. To find out more, I'm joined by Mike Goucher, who produced the documentary, along with award-winning journalist Lynn Sprangers. They teamed up with other local producers to tell Milwaukee's socialist story through local historians, political observers, family members of socialist leaders, and more. Mike Goucher, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Good to be with you, Audrey. Thanks.
So what made Milwaukee a city where a socialist experiment worked for nearly half of the 20th century?
Milwaukee had some unique things about it, something in its DNA. So socialism in Milwaukee was sort of a European experience. A wave of immigrants came to Milwaukee in the late 1800s and brought with them some of their own political ideology. So Milwaukee had this ethnic component to its socialism. The other thing was the explosion of the labor movement in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was one of a number of epicenters in this country where organized labor began to get stronger and more powerful. And the socialists were very astute in mobilizing the potential force of the labor movement to help them. And finally, what happened in Milwaukee was that in 1910, the city was incredibly corrupt, one of the more corrupt American cities, much like Chicago was at the time. So you had corruption, and then you also had absolutely terrible health conditions, sanitary conditions. And so the socialists swept into power in 1910, running essentially as reformers. We will clean up government and we will clean up the city.
Were people during that time, similarly to, I suppose we can compare it to lots of periods in history, but have a large distrust of government, and the socialist platform was one that sparked enthusiasm for getting involved in politics?
Yes, the socialists, one of the hallmarks of the socialist era in Milwaukee, and we're really talking 1910 to 1960, 38 of those 50 years, we had socialist mayors in Milwaukee. But the thing that the socialists tapped into was the public's desire for honesty and integrity in government. And that was a hallmark of the socialist years. And the people that we interviewed in the documentary, John Norquist, the former mayor, for example, said there was never a hint of corruption or someone doing something untoward on the part of any of Milwaukee's three socialist mayors. So I think that held appeal to the people of the city. They were not happy with the previous mayor, David Rose. They took him out of office in 1910 and said, we're going to go in a different direction.
So cleaning up corruption, clean water, public health, cleaner environment, public workers' rights, you know, doesn't sound so bad. So how did socialism come to get the stigma that's associated with it today?
I think it's part of politics today. I think that Milwaukee was a unique slice of American history, and perhaps what you saw in Milwaukee may not fit the definition of socialism today, at least in the eyes of some. I say that only because in Milwaukee, for example, the socialists were very frugal. They were tight with a penny. They were known for creating cost accounting measures in order to keep the cost of governing down in Milwaukee. Perhaps not what some people would associate with socialism today. So I think you had over time, socialism became equated with communism. And that was something that happened in the later years of Milwaukee's socialist experiment. And I think at that point, it was awfully hard for socialists to continue to survive in the political atmosphere in America at that time. But it's interesting, the word today is very polarizing. And what we don't do in this documentary is try to relate it to what's happening today. We let people view the film and make up their own mind about what happened in Milwaukee and whether it relates to what's happening today.
So why do you think this period of Milwaukee history just is kind of like a quirky piece of history, while in reality it's majorly significant in the history of our state? So why do you think not a lot of Wisconsinites know about, or at least maybe don't share this history if they do know about it?
Yeah, I think as we do right before the film begins, we show this clip of Alice Cooper from the movie Wayne's World, which was done back in the 1990s. And it's sort of like this little quirky piece of pop culture. So there's maybe a slight awareness that something happened in Milwaukee at some point and it had something to do with socialism. But a lot of people we talk to, even in Milwaukee, are not terribly familiar with the things that occurred during the era of the socialists. And certainly around the country, other than maybe a few media outlets that have done pieces on Milwaukee's socialism, I think there are an awful lot of people around this country who don't know the story of what happened here. And it is a fascinating story to think about socialists essentially in the first half of the 20th century, socialists being in charge of a major heartland city. Milwaukee at that time was one of the largest cities in the country. So I think it's a story that people, for whatever reason, you know, maybe we don't always know our history well. I think that's true of us. But it is fascinating. And we learned plenty throughout this. Even though we thought we had some idea of the story, we learned a lot more during the filming of the documentary.
Yeah, so let's get into how this documentary came together. So what inspired you to focus on this period of time to share the story of Milwaukee socialists?
There were really a couple of factors that were involved. Maybe three. We were hoping to do something. My wife, Lynn Sprangers, and I had run into a former colleague of ours. Steve Betcher was a photographer we worked with at TMJ4 back in the 80s and 90s. And we talked about doing something together. And we said, well, what could we do together as a documentary? And over time, we came to the conclusion that something on Milwaukee's socialist past would be interesting. And really, the reason for that was the fact that socialism is such a part of our public discourse today, but perhaps even more important, it was the fact that Milwaukee was selected as the site for the Democratic National Convention, whatever that will look like. But we were selected as the site, and we thought, so here is an interesting story about this city that will get a lot of attention in the summer of 2020. Here's a story that many people probably don't know much about. And wouldn't it be great if some local folks told the story, not people outside the city, people kind of coming in, doing something in a day and leaving, that we could tell the story through the eyes and through the words of people who have spent most of their lives in Milwaukee.
So let's talk about some of the local perspectives. Who is featured throughout this documentary? You mentioned Norquist. He's a former mayor here. Obviously some historians, but yeah, what is the spectrum of what's covered here?
So there are historians. So you have somebody who's familiar to a lot of Milwaukeeans, John Goethe, who has written about the socialist era in Milwaukee. You have Margo Anderson, the professor emeritus from UWM, a renowned history professor who helps us tell the story. You have family members. You have Jean Zeidler, the daughter of Frank Zeidler, also the former mayor of Williamsburg, Virginia. She's a very important piece of the storytelling. Dan Steininger, who is the grandson of Dan Hone, the second socialist mayor of Milwaukee, the longest serving socialist administration in U.S. history. We do have John Norquist, who came up on Amtrak from Chicago to join us for the filming of the documentary. And then we have other people in there who I think some people are familiar with. John Nichols, who writes for The Nation, also has written a book about socialism in America. Charlie Sykes, who people remember from his talk radio days in Milwaukee and is now the editor of the Bulwark, which is a media site that has gained some prominence recently. And some people that folks would just recognize, the former commissioner of baseball, Bud Selig, lifelong Milwaukee. We wanted to talk to some of those folks. Sheila Cochran, retired labor leader in Milwaukee. Howard Fuller, the former school superintendent in Milwaukee, who lived in the Hillside Public Housing Development in Milwaukee. Marina Dmitrievich, the common council member. When we interviewed her, she was a county board supervisor. She's also a former head of the Working Families of Wisconsin Party. So it's people who we felt were familiar with what had happened in Milwaukee, knew the story well, and could tell it in a way that would be captivating for not just a local audience, but also a national audience.
You mentioned Daniel Hone is the leading and the longest socialist administration in U.S. history. That was 24 consecutive years, which in any political party, that's a long tenure. So who else were some of these leaders that you featured?
The first mayor of Milwaukee was, socialist mayor of Milwaukee, was Emil Seidel. And he only served 2 years, actually. And it was interesting because after 2 years, the Democrats and Republicans combined forces to make sure he didn't serve a second term. They didn't like what was happening in Milwaukee. And Seidel was, I think, he had grand ambitions. He saw socialism a bit more as what some people might consider socialism, where you have the government owning the means of production. So there was a brief period of time between 1912 and 1916 when socialists were not in charge of Milwaukee. But in 1916, Dan Hone became the second socialist mayor of Milwaukee. And Hone, during his time, made a key pivot. He realized that he was going to have to exist within a capitalist free market system, that the people of Milwaukee were not quite ready to go to something beyond that. And so he made a pivot and still was able to achieve a fair number of his goals during his time up until 1940. But it was a very calculated move on his part in order to keep winning elections. Funny story about this. When we interviewed Gene Zeidler and Margot Anderson, they both told us a story about the name sewer socialist. Milwaukee was known as sewer socialist. And that was actually a term of derision directed at Milwaukee by East Coast socialists who said the Milwaukee socialists were not revolutionary enough. And as Gene Zeidler said, the socialists in Milwaukee took that as a badge of honor. And they said, well, you may think we need to be more revolutionary, but you could not be elected dog catcher, and we're winning elections. And so there was a pragmatism to the group of socialists. Even Frank Zeidler, who remained a socialist till the time of his death, Frank Zeidler still knew he had to work with Democrats, he had to work with others to accomplish at least some of what he wanted in terms of his agenda.
Yeah, so pragmatism, many people, I suppose, would say is not often associated with politics nowadays. So why did this come to an end? It seemed like there was a lot of progress, a lot of things got done in a responsible way that had a majority input and seemed to benefit the people of Milwaukee. So was it the nature of politics and that a different wave took over?
So I think you could safely say that socialism in Milwaukee as we knew it then ended because of a number of different factors. The first one being that socialists had put forth ideas to improve working conditions. That was a big part of their platform. They were about the working person. The Democrats, as some of our historians said, co-opted some of the socialists' best ideas and actually put some of them into the New Deal. And so you had less reason for socialism to exist. The Democrats now had some of these very same positions. And a good example of that would be Dan Hone, the socialist mayor from 1916 to 1940, eventually became a Democrat. You also had the interesting situation where communism and socialism were being equated. So Frank Zeidler, for instance, he was an anti-communist. He was a very devout Lutheran. Sort of his whole governing style was based on his faith. But he understood that in the public eye, it was now being viewed as equivalent, that socialism was communism. And so that definitely hurt the socialists during their time. Another reason would be the issue of race. Race has been a vexing issue for Milwaukee over the years. And in Zeidler's last reelection bid in 1956, it was a very ugly election with very strong racial overtones. Zeidler was accused of being too welcoming and too friendly to the city's latest arrivals, and that would be African-Americans in larger numbers than Milwaukee had known. And then finally, anytime you're a political party, it's about sustainability. You have to recruit the next group of leaders. You have to keep putting people into the pipeline. And that sort of broke down at some point. And so in many respects, Frank Zeidler was the last man standing when he decided not to run for office in 1960. He was worn out physically and mentally, and there was really no one to step into the void. So I think it was all of those things. And one other thing I might say about that, Milwaukee was a fairly prosperous town in the 1950s. And I think there was this feeling, why do we need socialism now? That was something that was great at a time. It worked for a time, but we've moved on beyond that. So I think that's part of it too.
What's left a lasting impression on you about our socialist past? And do you think it would ever be possible to see something similar rise in our political scape once again?
I think the achievements are the things that I think about. And they did have achievements. They restored honor and integrity to city government. They won countless awards for being a well-run city, especially during the Hohn era. They were known for having a strong health department with really much improved health conditions for the people of Milwaukee. They created the park system, which we all still enjoy and use today. It's one of the more remarkable park systems in the entire country. And they actually created a second lakefront. The first lakefront ended around Prospect, Wall Avenue, that area. But the socialists said, nope, we think the working people should be able to get access to the lakefront. So they put in fill, dredged parts of Lake Michigan, and created a whole new lakefront so that everyone could use. So those are the things that I think are the legacy of the socialists in Milwaukee, some things that we can still see today. Whether that is translatable to our politics today, I leave to others to decide. What I will say about that is that the socialists succeeded for a time because they listened to the needs of the people. And the people were saying, our working conditions are deplorable. The people were saying, our kids are sick. Our people are saying, we have more orphanages because even our adults are not living to a long age. So it was responding to the desire of people to have a better life that caused the socialists to have success. And so I don't know what party that would be today, whatever party you want it to be. But the party that does hear what people are saying in response to that probably can achieve some success.
Well, Mike Goucher, I look forward to seeing the documentary, and I thank you for your work on it.
It's my pleasure. It's good to be with you.
Mike Goucher is one of the producers of the PBS documentary America's Socialist Experiment, along with award-winning journalist Lynn Sprangers. The documentary will air on PBS Wisconsin tonight and on Milwaukee PBS tomorrow evening at 8:00.